Right. Good morning. This was a full week for my family. It was a bit of a crazy week. And one of the main reasons is because, well, we had fall break, which, you know, that always throws a monkey wrench in the schedule. But it worked out because fall break landed on my twins' birthday, which was really neat. That was good timing. And so my twins on Tuesday, they turned seven years old, just like super weird. I did notice some extra white hairs in my head this morning as I was fixing it. It's crazy though. It's crazy to me that we already have seven-year-olds. Like, time is weird, and not only time, but like growth, the way that things grow, especially the way that living things grow, the way that kids grow. Like, I looked at my seven-year-olds and I was like, man, this week we've been looking at pictures of my kids when they were 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. And it's crazy because you don't notice growth happening while it's happening. You notice it when it's happened. And I'm like, how did we go from here to here? Like, just nuts. That's how growth often takes place with living things in it, right? It's steady and incremental and gradual. You often don't perceive it while it's happening, only when you look back and turn around and see how far whatever this thing has come, has grown. Like, it's crazy. And typically we don't have, like, the way growth works, something has to be added or something comes into play to affect the growth process. Or when growth stops from happening or slows down, it's again because something affected it from the outside, right? Like my kids, for example. My kids don't have really any power to make themselves grow. Like, they didn't one day be like, I'm going to be a little closer to 7 today. Like, it didn't happen. It just happens. The only real power they have, though, is to say yes or no to the things that me as their father offers them to help them grow, like food, right? And they have the power. They have the power to say yes or no to the food that I offer. And if you were to look at my grocery bill, you know they say yes a lot. Too much sometimes, I suppose. But yesterday, they said no. See, yesterday was a bit of a crazy day, and I'm like, what are we going to do for lunch? And I'm like, I'm going for simple and easy. I take out the ham, I take out the cheese, and I'm like, I'm going to be a good dad. I'm going to get the bread out and the tortillas, and they can choose, right, what vehicle they want to use to eat the ham and cheese. And they saw that it was ham and cheese, and they refused, like, for real life. Like, they refused. And I was like, guys, you need this. This is what we've got. This is the way our schedule works today. We have this much time for this. This is going to be good. You can do it. And they said no. And I'm not going to force feed them. They're 7 years old. And so I let them exercise their right to say no to me. And it was nap time anyway, and I was ready for that. And so I was like, okay, you can go to bed. And they did. They did. Now, before you're worried about my kids and their eating habits, after they woke up, we went to the Rice Festival parade where they got a bunch of candy. They said yes to that. And then they also said yes to pizza last night. So they eat fine, I promise. That's a rare occasion for them to say no. But if they were to say no, would that not have a pretty profound effect on their growth? Absolutely. Absolutely. That is growth. And this morning, we're going to look at spiritual growth in that same way. We're going to see how Jesus uses the parable of the sower and the seeds and the soil to paint a picture of how spiritual growth works in our lives and how we have the power by saying yes or no to the gardener. We have the power to impact the rate of our spiritual growth, the rate in which our faith grows. And so this morning, I want to ask you, are you experiencing spiritual growth? Is your faith growing? Can you turn your head around and look over the last few years? Look at where you were 3, 4, 5 years ago, 1 year ago, and look at where you are now, and do you see growth? The way that I look back at my son's 3 and 4 year old pictures and see 7 year olds now, can you do that? And if not, then I encourage you to ask yourself the question, how have I been responding to God, to the Word of God? How have I been responding to the gardener who wants to work in my heart? Am I saying yes or am I saying no? Now, up to this point in Mark, we've seen Jesus teach in synagogues. Now in the wilderness, we've seen him perform miracles. And Mark is pretty good about describing just the vast variety of responses and reactions that his teaching receives, right? We've seen several responses that were yes responses to him. Those that have left the tax booth, left the fishing boats, and gone to faithfully follow Jesus. They've said yes to the word of Jesus in their lives. But we've seen a bunch of no's. We've seen those who've refused Jesus' teaching, those who've walked away, those who never gave it a chance to begin with. Yeses and no's, a bunch of different responses. And then we see Jesus in Mark 3 that Tyler brought us through last week. He begins to kind of distinguish those two groups even further with yeses and no's. He does that by choosing out of the crowd his closest 12 disciples. Those were 12 yeses. And he distinguished them even further. And then we see that when he defines true family as those who've done God's will, those who've said yes to God's will in their lives. He's making that distinction even further. And this morning, as we look at this parable, we're going to see that line grow even thicker and those distinguishing marks even clearer. And before we jump in, parables are interesting things, right? Parables are, they're stories of typically familiar and physical things that a storyteller, the parable teller, uses to teach a spiritual truth. A spiritual truth. However, they're not meant to entertain. They're not meant to capture the hearer's attention only for the moment, but they're meant to be pondered and to keep the attention of the hearers for an extended period of time as the truth of that parable begins to sink deeper and deeper into their hearts. That's what Leland Ryken, an author, says. He says, parables were intended to be carried away and mulled over for meaning. Like riddles, they yield their meanings only to those who take the time to ponder them. And Jesus uses parables to do that, to invite the listeners to slow down and to let the truth of God's word in the form of a parable sink deep in their hearts. And so this morning, as I pray and as we read through this parable, I encourage you to do just that. Allow the Lord to use this parable to sink deep the word of truth in your heart this morning. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for, God, thank you for your word. And not only your word, but your character, your heart, Father. The fact that we have so accessible your word and we have such a willing God to till and to fertilize and to water the soils of our heart. Would we allow you to do that? Would we say yes to your work in our heart this morning? Thank you for being faithful and patient with us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 4. And I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 25. So read with me as we look at this parable together. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching, he said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places or shallow places where it does not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on a rocky place, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. Because when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come and choke the word out, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." And then he said to them, "Do you bring a lamp in to put it under a bowl or under a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, though, even what they have will be taken from them." Wow. This is a beautiful parable. It's a familiar parable to many of us, right? We see so much about the nature of the kingdom of God in this parable. And so this morning, I invite you, the way that Jesus invites us, to think of his kingdom, the kingdom of God, as a garden. As a garden. And in this garden, seed grows into plants. That's the purpose of a garden. Fruitfulness, abundance. And in this garden, we have a gardener, we have soil, and we have seed. Right? Are we good? And the first thing we're introduced to in this garden, in this parable, is the gardener. We learn that God is a gardener. So you can go ahead and fill that first blank in with that. God is a gardener. Right? We're introduced to this sower, this gardener. And in the context of this parable, this gardener is Jesus. It's God himself. And the sowing of seed in a field is a picture of Jesus' earthly ministry as he goes to sow the seed of his word, of God's word, of his teaching to those who will hear. And this is also, we can take a step back and see this as a picture of God's work and humanity as a whole. But it's interesting because this picture of God as gardener wouldn't have been the readily available picture of God that the Jews would have had. That wouldn't have been the primary image of who God was. In fact, it would have been God the King, God the All-Powerful. See, God was a king and his Messiah, a soldier with the sole purpose of conquering. That's what the Jews thought. They thought that this Messiah was going to come and storm the gates of Rome and free Israel from oppression. So they looked for and expected this warrior Messiah, this soldier, but instead, Jesus comes in a totally unexpected way. He comes as a gardener to grow a garden. But is this not the first picture we get of God in Scripture? Didn't all of this begin in a garden? In Genesis 2, we see that God creates everything. He creates heavens and earth. And then after that, in chapter 2, we see this. It says, "The Lord God planted a garden in Eden, in the east, and there he placed the man he had formed. The Lord God caused to grow out of the ground every tree pleasing in appearance and good for food." God plants a garden. He plants a garden and then he begins the process of cultivating these seeds until they've become mature fruit-bearing trees. In this garden that he places Adam, this man, and Adam would have looked around him and seen these beautiful fruit trees, lush and green, would have turned to God who was looking back at him smiling. And Adam would have thought, "Garden? Well, he is the gardener. This is the gardener." That would have been the first image that mankind as a whole would have had of God. Not warrior, not king, but gardener. And this was by design. Doesn't that teach us something about the nature of God and his heart? That God is patient, like a good gardener is. He's wise. He's intentional with every decision he makes. He knows how to cultivate. He cares about life and fruitfulness and abundance, and he knows how to guide it there, the seed to the plant. Doesn't that teach us that God is gentle but intentional? This is hardly the picture of an all-powerful, demanding king coming to storm and to conquer. But he could have done that. He would have had every right to. He could have, instead of planting a garden, built a castle and then put Adam in that castle, who then would have seen the castle and the guarded walls and God maybe with a crown on a majestic throne instead of barefoot in a garden, and thought, kingdom, king. And then God could have used his majesty and his power and his strength to intimidate Adam into obedience. But wouldn't that have painted a different picture of the heart of God? God knew what he was doing when he planted a garden. He was communicating something about his character, about his goal, about his aim. God plants a garden, and he plants a good one, man. Because a good garden is what? It's fruitful. It's abundant. You walk in and you're like, man, this screams life and growth. And it's life-giving. And it's with this abundant harvest, this abundant garden in mind, that this gardener in the parable throws seed on every inch of his field. Because his goal is this fruitful garden. So he's going to throw as much seed as he's got on every inch, so that whatever can take it will take it and grow into these fruitful trees. See, in this parable, God, Jesus, is the gardener, and it's our hearts that are the soil, and God's word, the seed. You can go ahead and write that down. Our hearts are the soil, and God's word is the seed. See, Jesus, like throwing seeds on soil, teaches to anyone who has ears. God's word is available and accessible to any who will pay attention and ponder and consider it. And then he describes these, in this parable, these different types of soils, different conditions of soil. And these represent the different conditions of a heart. Different conditions of a heart at the time that it hears the word of God. And it's likely that as Jesus is going through these conditions of the soil, these conditions of the heart, he's got people in mind that he has witnessed respond to him in the ministry that he's had up to this point. He's got specific examples of each one of these in mind, and we're going to look at that. See, some in Jesus' ministry, as he's teaching the truths of the kingdom of God, of who he is and what he's come to do, some have responded with hard hearts. And you can write that in your first blank. Some have responded with hard hearts, like the hard soil, the footpath on which seed was thrown. That seed doesn't sink into any soil because there is really none there. It's a hard path. And in the same way, there are many who've responded to Jesus with hard hearts. They've repelled the word of God. They've immediately and abruptly refused to allow the truth of who Jesus is and the kingdom of God to penetrate the soil of their heart. Upon the first hearing, as soon as they were offended, they turned it away, not giving it another chance. They didn't ponder. They didn't listen. They didn't hear. They didn't carefully consider. And I can't help but think that it's the Pharisees who fit this. So many of them, right? From the beginning, the Pharisees we see begin to listen to Jesus with an immediate skepticism. But that skepticism doesn't stay as skepticism. It turns into a total rejection of Jesus' teaching all the way up until they decide to kill him. We see that with each interaction, perhaps they started off with a curiosity of who this new rabbi is. And as soon as they were offended, they rejected it. And with each interaction, that rejection grew more firm and their responses become more harsh and their hearts became more hard, until Satan finally removed any potential faith that they would have completely away. That's what happens. This persistent unbelief, this hardening of the heart to God's word, only perpetuates more hardness of the heart as we continue to interact with the word of God. This might be some of us in here this morning. Some of us in here this morning may have never truly pondered and considered carefully the Word of God. Maybe someone in this room is here because you respect the person who invited you. Or you're trying to make someone in your life proud. But perhaps you've never really allowed the truth of who Jesus is, that He has come to save, that He has come to cultivate faith in your heart in a lifelong process. Perhaps you've never really considered that, and every time you hear it, you're offended, or your heart is hardened to it, perhaps because of past hurt or because of pride. My urge to you this morning is ponder the Word of God. Consider what Jesus is trying to whisper in your ear. Let it sink into your heart and allow Him to begin to till the hardness. Say yes to Jesus this morning. Say yes to the cultivation of a good gardener and His gentle hand in the soil of your heart. Say yes. But not everyone in the crowds responded with hard hearts. Some responded to Jesus's ministry with shallow hearts. You can go ahead and write that down. Shallow hearts. See, in the parable, you had shallow soil. And that seed was thrown on that shallow soil. And it sunk as deep as it could. But it was only a little bit layer of soil to begin with. And so it sprouted up quickly. And Jesus says this was an initial receiving of the word with joy. But as soon as the heat of that sun hit that plant, it withers and decays and dies out. And is gone. No more seed, no more plant. And we see this in Jesus' ministry as well. I think of all of those that Jesus healed. The beginning of Mark, we see that potentially hundreds of people have lined up for some sort of physical healing from Jesus. And Jesus delivers. He heals so many people. It's a part of His ministry to gain the attention of His hearers. But how many of them were healed, and because of that, immediately responded to Jesus with joy and gratitude? Genuine, but short-lived, because they go back home to their normal life, or they meet some sort of resistance, some sort of animosity because of their association with Jesus, that they begin to allow their faith in Him and their faithfulness to Him to wither and decay. And there's a story in John. We hear of a man who was blind, and he was healed of his physical blindness on the Sabbath day by Jesus. And once the Pharisees catch wind of this, they immediately go seek out this formerly blind man, and they interrogate him. And once he confirms it was Jesus who healed him, before the Pharisees go search out Jesus, they condemn this man for being healed by Jesus on the Sabbath. So much so that they kick him out of the synagogue. He's now experiencing a trial, persecution, because of his association with Jesus. Now, we're not sure exactly what happens further on in the story. I'd like to think that he continued to faithfully follow Jesus. But could it be so that he didn't? That he realized after hours of thinking about it that, man, I really like going to synagogue. Man, I've had my eye on this cute girl at synagogue lately, and I'm not going to be able to go see her anymore. Whatever. That the reality of this persecution and trial sets in, and they decide, okay, it's not worth it. I'm going to go ahead and say no. I'm not going to say yes anymore to Jesus. I'm going to say no, because at this point I've reached resistance and I'm done. It's too hard. That sun's too hot. And their faith withers and decays. The cultivation process has ended. No more growth. Perhaps some of us are in this situation. We have the condition of our hearts this morning is like this shallow soil. Perhaps you're a new believer. And things started off really good. You were excited. You had support. It seemed great. But then all of a sudden you started to feel the pressures that came with being a Christian, especially in today's culture and world where hostility is only growing. Perhaps you work in an industry that is beginning to really be overshadowed with this cultural hostility against the truths of Jesus and God. And you've been pressured by coworkers or bosses to bend, to conform to the spirit of this age in this way. And you've begun to feel that pressure and that persecution, the heat, the scorching heat of that sun of trial. And if that's you this morning, I urge you to say yes, to continue to pursue, to say yes to Jesus, to continue to allow that gardener to till and work in your heart, to deepen that shallow soil until it becomes deeper. Say yes. Persevere through those trials, because I promise you, spiritual growth is the aim of God the gardener, and he will use these trials to do just that. Now, some in Jesus' ministry have responded to him with crowded hearts. That's heart condition number three, crowded hearts. Jesus talks about a soil that seems deeper than the shallow soil, deep enough to grow thorns and weeds. And this seed has been planted there, but these thorns have begun to choke it out and twist and entangle around it, blocking it from the sun. And in this parable, we see it is choked out, and it withers and dies. And it's likely that that has happened in Jesus' experience on earth as well, that there have been those who've heard the message of Jesus, accepted it from the beginning at face value. But then when they realize what they're asked to sacrifice in the name of Jesus, they stop that process of growth. It's not worth it. See, these thorns are the distractions of life, the worries of life, the entanglements of life. And those come in the forms of worries and busyness, but also in the forms of passions of the flesh. They're the things that, if we're not careful, will choke out the spiritual growth of our faith. And we see this in the rich young ruler. Do you remember the rich young ruler? It's likely that he heard a message of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus. He listens and accepts. So much so to where he looks for Jesus. Once the crowd is dispersed, he goes and finds Jesus, big smile on his face. This is the heart of a seeker. This is a great place to be. It's the, I've heard the word and now I need to know what's next. This is a great place to be. He's in a good spot and he finds Jesus, the right person. Says, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Clearly that's where your teaching is going. Tell me what's next. What do I need to do? And Jesus has a heart check for him, for this man. Asks him, hey, have you been a faithful Jew? What have you done with the law of God up to this point? And the man says, hey, I followed it. I agree with the law of God. Like, this is awesome. And then Jesus, perceiving the condition of this man's heart, with compassion in his eyes, looks at the man and says, well, then you only have one more thing to do. Sell all of the possessions that you have. Take that money, give it to the poor, and then turn around, come back and follow me. In other words, you've got weeds. You've got thorns. Go ahead and let me remove those thorns. And if you say yes to me and allow me to remove those thorns, then that little kernel of faith is going to grow. Let me pull them. Remove those weeds, those thorns. And we know that this man walks away sad, likely that he doesn't do that because he had a lot of wealth. He wasn't willing to sacrifice those things that were crowding out and choking out spiritual growth in his heart. This may be many of us this morning in here. We've received the word of God. We believe in Jesus. We love what God's word says. But man, life is busy. And it's so easy to get caught up in the entanglements of life. And again, those aren't always sinful things. Having wealth is not sinful, but is it crowding out spiritual growth in your heart? The word of God growing into a mature plant in your life. If that's the case, whether it's wealth or schedules or worries of the world or whatever it may be, if there are things that are distracting, my urge to you is to say yes to Jesus, to remove those weeds. It's going to be painful, but it's going to be fruitful. And we have a firm but gentle hand in the gardener. Allow him to do that. Say yes. If there's a nudge in your heart that God is calling you to have something removed out of your life to make space for that seed to grow, then say yes this morning. Say yes to the work of the gardener so that faith can flourish in and through you. Now, these three soils, like these three heart conditions, they all result in the same thing, the end of the process of cultivation. They all result in the stifling of the seed. They all result in the pushing away of the gardener's hand. No more, don't work anymore. But it's the last soil, the good soil, that receives the seed. Scripture says, welcomes the seed. And along with welcoming the seed, this good soil welcomes the hand of the gardener to work and grow the seed until it grows roots and sprouts and grows into a mature and fruitful plant. And it's in that same way that a heart that receives God's word and allows God to till and to fertilize and to prune and to remove thorns, it's that heart that begins to see a fruitful tree grow up and sprout. This is the fourth blank under the heart condition section on your bulletin. This is the cultivated heart. The cultivated heart. And isn't this what we see when we look at the 12 disciples? Right? They said yes to Jesus. They've said yes, and they've continued to say yes. We see this when they left their fishing boats, when they left their tax booth. They said yes, and then they made it a habit of saying yes to Jesus. Now, they didn't understand it all. We see that when Jesus points us out, when he says, "Do y'all not even understand this parable? How are you going to understand more?" But then he's faithful to reveal more to them because their heart condition is yes, okay, yes. We don't understand, but we're ready to keep working, keep tilling, keep revealing. Let me keep saying yes. See, this is the process of cultivation. This is the process of cultivation. It's the difference between a fruitful plant and a seed that never sprouts. It's the process of cultivation, a working of the soil, a tilling and watering and fertilizing of the seed until it becomes a plant. And in our context, in the context of spiritual growth, cultivation is hearing the word, number one. Number two, responding in faith. And that's on your bulletin as well. Cultivation is hearing the word, then responding in faith. We see this process laid out by Paul in Romans 10:17. In one verse, Paul says this so clearly. Faith comes from hearing. And hearing through the word of Christ. This is the process of spiritual growth right here. This is the process of cultivating faith in our hearts. Cultivation begins with hearing the word of God. And that is the command that we see in this set of parables right here, in this set of verses. Jesus multiple times looks at his crowd and then looks at the disciples and he says, "Listen, hear. Pay attention, carefully consider what I am saying, ponder." See, this is why he used parables. I love this. Because he's trying to invite the careful consideration of the teachings of his words. A parable, if you've got a hard heart, you're going to reject it off the bat no matter what. But he's trying to take those seeds out of the hard soil and to carefully consider this teaching, to chew on it, to mull it over so that soil begins to break up and that seed begins to sink deep. And then they can look at that seed, that word of God, and make an informed decision because they've thought through its implications and what it means for their hearts and their lives. I've got a little science project up here. We're going to see if it works, see if I don't make a mess. I'm not sure if you've ever, don't come apart, table. That would not be good. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of oobleck. I'm sure you have. I don't know if it separates over time. If not, this might not work, but if it does. But we'll see. So this mixture is called oobleck. It's super simple. It's cornstarch and water. It's all it is. Okay? But it's got really interesting properties. Let's see if this works. If you can see it. When oobleck is met with abrupt and quick force, it's as hard as concrete. Look, I just pushed the, look at that. Okay, I didn't even get on my hands. It's awesome. So what happens when it's met with quick and abrupt force? But when you put your hands in it, slowly, it's not working. Oh, that is slowly kind of working. When mixed properly, it is, it's sinking in there a little bit. When mixed properly, oobleck, I'm touching the bottom now, okay. When you go slowly, your hand sinks in normally, pretty effortlessly. That is what Jesus is trying to get at with these parables. He's saying, don't meet the word of God with a rash and abrupt rejection like the hard hearts of the Pharisees. That's why I'm telling you in parables. My teachings are coming in the form of oobleck. Slowly, carefully, intentionally soak it in and allow it to sink into your hearts, because that's an invitation for the work of the gardener. When you carefully ponder and consider the word of God, that's when the real work begins, because you're inviting the firm and gentle hand of the good gardener to begin to work that soil of your heart. And then as he works it, and as he tills, he waters with more of the word of God. And it's like a fresh flow of water on that seed and saturates that soil, and roots grow and cultivation happens. I love this process of cultivation. But once this process starts, there's always a response required. When the word of God is revealed, when you ponder the teachings of Jesus, the teachings of God's word, there is a response required. It's the yes or no. It's the only power we have in the spiritual growth process. Exercising a yes or no. It's like my boys with their lunch yesterday. We have the power to look at the gardener and say, yes, keep working, keep watering, keep fertilizing, keep tilling, or no, stop. And he's a good and gentle gardener, and he will remove his hand if you push it away. This is faith, though. Faith is saying yes to God. Faith is saying yes to God. And this process of cultivation is lifelong. It's a lifetime of saying yes to God, the gardener's work in your heart. Because what happens is, once we hear the word of God and we gain an understanding of it, if we respond with a yes, he works and moves in our hearts. And then he reveals more, a deeper understanding, like we see with the disciples. And as we're given more of an understanding, there's another crossroads, yes or no. And as we say yes, again, he works further. Those roots grow deeper. That plant sprouts. This is cultivation. And as we respond in faith, as we respond with yes, our faith grows. It's compounding. We see this principle in verse 25 when Jesus says, "For whoever has, more will be given to him. And whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." See, it's compounding. And this is what happens. See, our faith grows when we say yes to the gardener. Our faith grows when we say yes to the gardener, but that process of cultivation stops when we say no, when we push away his hand. Now, with this lens, this principle in mind, I want us to look at the parables one more time. Now, in each of these soils, the hard soil, the shallow soil, the crowded, the thorny soil, and then the good soil, we see that the gardener sows seed. And at this point, we know that that's God spreading, that's Jesus spreading his word, the teachings of Jesus in the kingdom of God. He reveals it to the heart. The hard heart we see in the parable responds with an immediate no. No, like that hand abruptly hitting that oobleck, they respond with a no, an immediate rejection. They effectively push the hand of the gardener away, and the cultivation has ended. That seed doesn't even go so much as an inch into the soil. It stays on the top. But if that hard heart had considered the word Jesus was teaching, that seed, that word would sink deeper and would have responded with a yes, keep tilling, keep working. And then that gardener would have taken that seed, taken that hard, hard footpath soil, and begun to till and break up that concrete, break up those rocks until it became a little bit of a deeper soil. And that seed would have penetrated just a little bit. And then there's another crossroads. That seed would have to say yes to the gardener to keep working, keep tilling, keep digging, or no. And in the parable, we see that this seed, this shallow heart, says no, effectively pushing away the hand of the gardener And the gardener stops. The cultivation has ended, and that seed, although penetrates a little bit, never sprouts and grows because the work of cultivation has been ended. But if it had said yes, if it had said yes to the hand of the gardener continuing to dig and till, then that gardener would have done just that. He would have taken that shallow soil, that rocky soil, and continued to till and dig until it became deeper soil, deep enough to where thorns would begin to grow. And then more understanding to the soil would be given by this gardener. This gardener would look at the soil and say, hey, now's the time for me to remove, to pull out these weeds and these thorns so that this cultivation can continue. And in the parable, we see the soil say, no, that's too painful. I'm fine just, you've brought me far enough. I'm fine just where I'm at. Effectively pushing away the hand of the gardener, cultivation stops. That seed, although deeper, never grows roots and sprouts up. But if that crowded soil would have said yes to the hand of the gardener, plucking and pulling the weeds and the thorns, then he would have done that. And the sunlight would have been able to penetrate the seed, and tilling and further tilling and digging would have happened until that seed was deeply seeded into now very fresh and healthy soil, good soil, free of weeds and thorns. And he would have continued at that point to water it, to fertilize it, to cultivate it. And that process would have continued until roots were grown deep. And the sprout begins to go up. Until eventually, after a lifetime of saying yes, of cultivation, this small plant, through pruning and further watering, would become a mature and fruit-bearing tree. This is the process of cultivation. This is spiritual growth, a lifetime of saying yes, a lifetime of saying yes to the gardener. And if you do that, then one day you will grow into what God has intended for you to be from the beginning, from the seed. Right? The way that David says it in Psalm 1 is perfect. David says this: blessed is the man whose delight is in the word of God, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you are a good gardener. Thank you that you are patient and wise, meticulous and intentional about every working of your hand in the soil of our hearts. But Lord, thank you for also allowing us to be a part of that process of saying yes to you, Father. You're not coming to conquer, but coming to grow and to cultivate. Would you do that in our hearts? Would all those in this room, whatever the soil of their hearts at the moment, Father, would they say yes to you today? Whether it's a yes to something radical like quitting a job and going to the mission field, would they say yes, Father? Whether it's something simpler like letting go of a grudge or forgiving an enemy or confessing a sin, Father, whatever your spirit is nudging and pulling and tugging at their heart, Father, would they say yes? Would they respond to the gardener with a yes, to you with a yes? And Father, I pray that you would begin and continue to cultivate faith in our hearts this morning. We love you and we praise you, Father. Would the fruit of our lives glorify you and be useful for your kingdom and the furthering of it in our world. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. If y'all will go ahead and stand with us as we close in worship this morning.